Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Good Sunday evening. It is just Sunday evening by 1 minute. Sunday morning, I suppose, by 1 minute here on the East Coast. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and we are here with you for the post-Royal Rumble edition of Wrestling Night in America. So if you are listening and you just watched the Royal Rumble, I'm sorry. The overall tone from my Twitter feed seems to be very negative about this show. I would second that, probably. It was not what I would term a good show. So if you've got comments, questions, concerns, call us up, 515-605-9345. You can also email us, wnialivecast@gmail.com. If you can't hang up late with us, that's all right. That's what the email is for. So let me go through the show here, go step by step through it as we muddle through this Rumble and kind of see where we go from here. The first match was Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns. Somewhat interesting, I think, to start off with that match. But Rollins gets the victory by disqualification. So Reigns retains the Universal Championship. The Usos were banned from ringside. They did not play a part in this match. Reigns choking out Rollins. He gets the ropes. Reigns refuses to break at five. And then Reigns attacked Rollins after the match with a chair. Worth noting that Rollins wore the Shield gear on his way to the ring and during the match. And he also came out to the Shield music as a way to, as the announcers referenced, mind games happening with Rollins here. He does get the win, gets beat down after the match. Reigns clearly the priority here, and by the end of the night you'll see that he was most definitely the priority. Where does that leave Rollins? Still a member of the Raw brand. Does that put him in contention for the WWE Championship? I think he certainly gets a chamber spot at Saudi Arabia's Elimination Chamber next month. So, we'll have to see, I guess, on that. The Women's Royal Rumble was next. A lot of surprises in this one that I think highlighted the depth issues that the women's roster has on Raw and SmackDown. Melina, Kelly, let's see, Michelle McCool, Cameron, Ivory, Brie Bella, Mickey James, Alicia Fox, Summer Rae, Nikki Bella, Sarah Logan, Lita, Ronda Rousey, all part-timers or not main roster wrestlers who were in this match. And some showed out better than others. But the big surprise, obviously, Ronda Rousey at number 28. The final four was Rousey, Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, and Shayna Baszler. Rousey eliminating Charlotte Flair to get the victory. So by that point in the match, Charlotte and Ronda were the two who you'd have to assume had the best opportunity to win this match. It's sort of how it came down in the men's rumble as well. But Ronda Rousey gets the victory. And as soon as her name was bandied about as being part of the women's rumble earlier in the week, you could kind of see that she was going to get the victory. If she's going to be in the women's rumble, no doubt she's going to get the victory. And that's exactly what happened here. So she now has her choice to face Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch. She does have a history with both, but the only other potential title combatant, I would say, is Bianca Belair. And with her being on Raw and her history with Becky Lynch, it would make sense for Belair versus Lynch and Charlotte versus Rousey then at WrestleMania. We'll keep our eye on that. I'm assuming that's where it goes, although Ronda Rousey, they advertised, will be on Monday Night Raw tomorrow night. So you know, with it being WrestleMania season, there is the potential that you could see a little more crossover as far as wrestlers going from one brand to another. So Charlotte could end up on Raw tomorrow night, at least for tomorrow, as a way to goad Ronda into facing her, wanting revenge for Rousey throwing her out of the Rumble. Match number three was the aforementioned Becky Lynch defeating Doudrop to retain the Raw Women's Championship. It was an okay match, put in a position that was unenviable following the Women's Rumble and as a come-down match, even more so when the fans were preoccupied by the WrestleMania sign getting caught on fire due to the pyro. So that is a bad omen if I've ever heard one. That is, you know, XFL blimp falling to the earth omen for WrestleMania. So we'll hopefully that's not a sign of the road to WrestleMania or the WrestleMania itself. But yeah, it was a decent match, but there was no way you could imagine Doudrop winning. Lynch, the finish was pretty cool to see, but again, it was pretty clear from the outset Becky was going to win, and the fans didn't seem all that invested, whether it was because they knew the result ahead of time. They're not into the Becky Lynch heel character. They don't want to boo her. They were distracted by the sign catching fire. They were tired from the Women's Rumble that took place before. And whatever the excuse, the fans just did not seem into this one. The fourth match was Lashley defeating Brock Lesnar to win the WWE Championship. I talked about it last week here on our show when we previewed the Rumble, that of the two title matches, it seemed to me most likely that Lashley would defeat Lesnar. Certainly a better chance than Rollins defeating Reigns for the title. And that's exactly what happened here. Roman Reigns interfering when the ref was bumped, speared Lesnar. Paul Heyman handed Reigns the title. And Reigns hit Lesnar with the title. Reigns and Heyman walked out together, walked to the back together. And so they seem to be back together, perhaps in cahoots all along, as we've speculated here on this show. But either way, Lashley wins the title. It was sort of what you expected. I think it was the car crash type of deal where they just hit each other with a lot of moves. It did move slower in parts than I think I expected. But Lashley does get the victory. I think the one thing I didn't like about this was Lesnar losing ever should be a big deal. And even if it's by a preponderance of interference. Here we had Lashley beating Lesnar, winning the title from him, and yet it felt like an afterthought because of the role that Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman played in the finish and the reuniting of those two. So that was kind of disappointing, although I'm sure Lesnar will be back permanently on SmackDown in the lead up to WrestleMania when, you know, he chooses to face Roman Reigns. You know, unless Lesnar faces Lashley again in Saudi Arabia. So Lashley could get some room to breathe as champion and be able to say he beat Lesnar and not have the Reigns and Lesnar drama overshadowing him each and every week like he had tonight. So that's the silver lining, I guess, if you have one. Match number five was Edge and Beth Phoenix defeating The Miz and Maryse in a mixed tag match. This was pretty light, you know, as far as it was a little bit of fun here on this show. It did not have the feel, and I tweeted about this. You can follow me at Greg M. Parks. I tweeted about this during the show that it didn't feel as monumental or as important as the buildup on TV had made it out to be. And maybe that's because of everything that had happened on this show, but this just didn't have that important feel that I thought the buildup had sort of led to. Also interesting, you know, that there was the argument that Miz and Maryse would win, which would lead to an eventual Edge-Miz blow-off match, perhaps at WrestleMania. Edge and Beth won without a lot of drama here, and so either Miz talks his way into another match with Edge, which is hard to see happening, or Edge moves on into something for WrestleMania season. And then we had the Men's Rumble as the main event. Not as many surprises as one would expect. We had Bad Bunny come in toward the end. Shane McMahon and Brock Lesnar were the big surprises. And Lesnar getting the victory. The final four were Lesnar, Drew McIntyre, Shane McMahon, and Riddle. So this was not a really good Rumble. I think it exposed. I think when you looked at the participants beforehand, you thought, this is a pretty weak field. And yet it seemed even weaker than on paper in execution. And that's really unfortunate. The pops that you usually get for entrances just were not there. The music, a lot of people on Twitter pointing out how awful the music selection has been lately for some of these wrestlers, to where the music hits and you don't even know what wrestler it's for. And so I think that played a part in the lack of a pop for these wrestlers. But just overall, a couple weak Rumble matches. The women's match was not great either. I think buoyed by the part-timers that you had and things like that. So I will mention Mickie James was in there, Impact Knockouts Champion. They referred to her as Impact Women's Champion, not Knockouts Champion. But she did use her hardcore country music that she uses in Impact. She did wear the Impact Knockouts title to the ring. So pretty big deal for Impact to get that kind of publicity. She did eliminate a wrestler or two, so there was that. But yeah, just Brock Lesnar getting the victory in the Men's Rumble. So, there's a little bit of drama after he lost the title. Okay, does he enter the Rumble and win that and choose to face Roman Reigns? Or do you have a Big E or a Drew McIntyre win the Rumble, choose to face Lashley, and then have Lesnar go into Saudi Arabia to win in the Chamber match? So, I think maybe if you put Lesnar in the Chamber, you figure there's no way he's going to lose. So it foreshadows a victory, whereas if you don't announce him for the Rumble and make him a surprise, it's not going to be a foregone conclusion. Whatever the case may be, Lesnar, and he will almost certainly choose to face Roman Reigns. So we're looking for a challenger to Lashley. So taking suggestions and speculation and all that good stuff here on Wrestling Night in America. Just to reset for those of us who have joined a little late here, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and this is Wrestling Night in America for January 29th/January 30th, 2022, as we recap the Royal Rumble from the Dome at America Center in St. Louis, Missouri. An announced crowd of 44,000 by WWE, although WrestleTix on Twitter had it about just over 39,000, which either way is a really good crowd for the Rumble. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 515-605-9345 is the number to call. We have a lot of people on hold, a lot of people just listening, but if you want to contribute, if you want me to call on you, you got to raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad. So we've got a lot of people on hold, but only 2 people in the queue. We've got a couple emails to get to as well. The first email, this is just sent from Chris from Reading, Pennsylvania. He says, I don't know why I still watch WWE. Nothing is explained, logical or long-term. It's just more content for the content farm. This was just lifeless. I just don't know if I can do it anymore. Why did they have to do a DQ and a screwy finish with the two men's belts? And why did they have part-timers win the Rumbles? Why do they refuse to stick with someone like Big E? It's a slap in the face to fans like me who try to invest in people. So I think that's a good summation of the feeling that people have after this event, that at least from what I've seen on social media, Chris's email basically kind of sums up some of the issues that people have. So we'll see if the callers tonight echo that, or if it's a little more of a softer touch. I'm not sure which way it goes. They always surprise me. So without further ado, we'll get right to the phone calls, and we'll start at the 410 area code. It is Reverend Keith from Baltimore, Maryland. Reverend Keith, welcome to Wrestling Night in America. Really interested to hear your thoughts on the Rumble tonight.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Greg. God bless you. I had tweeted that I felt that Brock Lesnar would enter in at number 30, wreak havoc and win. That prediction was correct, and I had predicted that Charlotte Flair would win. So I was right on one of them. So, 50% tonight. As you stated, some of the stuff tonight was predictable. I mean, a lot of people had thought for at least, 4 weeks since day one that it was all a ruse with Heyman joining up with Brock. That was predictable. Now he's back with Roman. So I just felt that they could have toned down the predictability tonight. This Becky Doudrop was a farce. Nothing there. The fans wasn't into it, although it was put in the death spot, as you said. Other than that, I was kind of surprised at the DQ finish for the first match. It deserved more than that, you know, especially for a big four pay-per-view, and one would say either, well, it has to be the number two because WrestleMania is always going to be number one. What were your thoughts on that DQ finish, Greg Park?
Yeah, you know, I was a little surprised at it, too. When you consider Roman Reigns is likely going to WrestleMania and to main event one night of WrestleMania, and Seth Rollins isn't. I mean, Seth Rollins, you know, he may be in the mix to get a WWE title shot. I can't say that he's a favorite right now to get it. I'd put Big E and Drew McIntyre maybe a little above him, even though McIntyre's on SmackDown. You know, so I don't really understand necessarily why they had to do that, unless it was more about the Reigns-Lesnar story and Reigns maybe being unfocused and Reigns, you know, the mind games of Seth Rollins getting to Reigns. And we've seen Reigns in control for so long in this character, and this is one of those times where he was not in control. And now, at the end of the Royal Rumble, you're going to say, okay, now how is that version of the Reigns character going to be manipulated, if at all, by Brock Lesnar, especially now that Heyman's back? I mean, it's a different Reigns now that Heyman is officially back in the fold, if, in fact, that Heyman has been going along with Reigns this entire time behind Lesnar's back. So, you know, that's the best I can do to try to explain why you needed a DQ finish there. I don't think Rollins is a guy you really need to protect against someone like Reigns, who has beaten opponents higher on the totem pole than Rollins before cleanly. So why Rollins needed this protection, I'm not sure, again, unless they have plans to put Rollins into that WWE title match.
Right. I thought the Shield entrance through the crowd, the Shield gear, which we realized at the conclusion of the match, the reason why he had to wear that Shield gear was because he took 8 chair shots to the back. So
right.
That helped him out a lot. Just like when Mick Foley wrestled, he always wore a lot of stuff because he took tons of bumps. But one thing I do want to say in regards to the Women's Royal Rumble match, even though it was a delight to see everyone from Cameron, who I remember checking into my hotel along with Naomi back in 2010 when they debuted, in the WWE, because she still looks the same. She hasn't aged at all. But as much as I like to see Cameron, Foxy, Ivory, and all the other former stars from back in the Diva era, I feel that WWE needs to start calling up all, or not all, but at least some of the women who have done all that they can in NXT, then therefore you would need 10 former Diva stars participating in the 30 Women Royal Rumble. I mean, you've got women down there like Raquel Gonzalez. You know, you've got so many others that could come up, even if you're not immediately going to place them on Raw or SmackDown, just to give them the experience and exposure. You know, and I just felt like it was overkill using all of those former D tonight's match. That's all. I think it kind of took away from positivity of the Women's Royal Rumble match, and it also made that match more predictable because you knew it was going to come down to Charlotte and Ronda. And really, they didn't need, in my opinion, I'm going to let you go after this, they didn't need to have Ronda win it. They could have had Charlotte win it because Charlotte could have picked her own opponent. They could have had Ronda come out and, you know, taunt Charlotte. You know what I'm saying? They didn't necessarily have to have Ronda win it. I mean, I understand they did what they did for the pop. But at the same token, since Charlotte had already said that if she were to win, she was going to choose her own opponent, they could have had Ronda come out and challenge her, or you know what I'm saying, Greg?
Yeah. I think with Rousey winning, I think they probably wanted her to earn it. Coming into coming back and not having wrestled in quite some time now, I think the WWE fans are, Daniel Bryan was right when he said they were fickle. I think in some respects they are, and they're right to be fickle when they have part-timers come in and sort of stomp all over everybody and all of a sudden just be taken more seriously and be handed or perceived to have been handed opportunities that full-time stars don't get. So I think if you want Ronda Rousey to be a babyface, which if they're pairing her up with Charlotte, obviously you want to do, you want her to earn that spot. And Charlotte as a heel accepting a Rousey challenge, I think, there are ways to do it, but generally a heel, someone like Flair, the character that she has, I would be hard-pressed to see her accept a challenge of someone the caliber of Rousey, who's already proved, not only is she really good at MMA, but she's accomplished in professional wrestling as well. The other thing I want to touch on is what you said about NXT's lack of involvement here. And I had that same thought as I'm watching, Kelly make her fifth appearance in the Rumble and, Ivory in her RTC gear. Like, it's cool and all. And obviously they're just kind of, WWE likes to do the joke spots in the Rumbles, and Ivory was that this year, doing the mic work, the RTC mic work, and getting quickly eliminated. I think now that NXT has turned into a true developmental brand, I think you're not going to see the NXT involvement in the Rumble or the Survivor Series that we've seen in years past. I think WWE wants to make it a very clear line of demarcation between the main roster and the NXT, because they have blurred that line before. And I think that even though it's on, the same station that Raw is on, and they have some wrestlers in NXT, Mandy Rose has probably been in Rumbles before. There's no reason she couldn't be in this Rumble. It's not like she's not trained enough. It's not like they don't have women in NXT who would be, who would be better served to be in the spotlight of a Royal Rumble as opposed to, Michelle McCool again or someone like that. So the argument is there for it, but I think WWE doesn't want to muddy that water anymore that they've done in the past. They want to say, when this person gets called up, they're going to be up for good. We don't want to just use them as cameos in the Rumble. That's kind of my take on it.
I understand. Well, Greg, listen, you do an excellent job. It's late. Hopefully you will get other callers. If not, I can understand because this show went well over 4 hours. Thanks for taking my call. We'll just have to wait and see which way the storylines go, and you'll hear from me very soon. Have a good night.
Absolutely. Thank you, Reverend Keith. Thanks for kicking us off here tonight. And again, if we have a couple more callers on hold. We've got couple more emails to get to, but if you want to send your email, wnialivecast@gmail.com, we'll get to it and discuss it here on the air. If you want to call in, 515-605-9345, press 1 to chat. We got a lot of people listening in, which is great. We are here, by the way, every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, unless there is a WWE or AEW pay-per-view that weekend, then we go on the air right after that pay-per-view. I'm sorry. Premium live event or pay-per-view. Now I have to juggle those two phrases instead of just saying one when talking about AEW and WWE. But anyway, just like we are here for the Royal Rumble, right after that show goes off the air, we go on the air. But every other weekend, every other Sunday, we are on the air, 8 p.m. Eastern, live, taking your phone calls and emails. And I would love to hear from you as we move forward here in 2022 on the road to WrestleMania. So let's go to our next caller, 615 area code. It is Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, welcome to Wrestling Night in America tonight. Really interested in your thoughts on the Rumble tonight.
Well, Greg, it's always good to talk to you, man. You're here late. I appreciate you, my friend, for sure. Wow, it was a mixed bag for sure. It wasn't the worst show, of course, I've ever seen, but it definitely wasn't the best either. The I was with you as far as the DQ and then the, like, for me, what I didn't like about the Lashley-Lesnar, I guess, like, the match kind of was what it was. It was disappointing for what I thought maybe they could have done going in. But then after, you know, Reigns comes in and, you know, does all the stuff, and then Heyman goes back to him, which was, you know, we kind of knew was going to happen. We just didn't know when. For Lashley, just to, I mean, I know he won the title, so he's excited about winning the title, but it's just like, you know, I just don't like getting that. Even though you won the title, like, the way you won it, and of course he didn't see it, and so that's what they're telling you. Like, you know, he didn't know what happened. He just knows that he pinned Brock and he won. But it just sucks that they made, you know, Lashley get so excited, like, knowing he didn't win, you know, clean. Like, we wanted him to win clean if he's going to win. And so that kind of took me out of it a little bit, even though, like I said, Lashley didn't see it. He was down. But I don't know. I wanted him to win clean if he's going to win. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was just never going to happen, Sean. I mean, when you got Brock Lesnar and you got him ticketed for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, Lashley beating Lesnar cleanly to win the title, that was just never going to be in the cards. Understand it from that point of view from WWE, as much as Lesnar is basically bulletproof. You know, you could probably beat him cleanly and then have him show up on Raw tomorrow night and destroy the set, and boom, you know, he's back to be Brock Lesnar, the Destroyer again, and all, you know, all is forgotten about that clean loss. But, you know, they've been very protective of Brock Lesnar, and, you know, that main event against Roman Reigns is something they see as a huge match, and I don't think they're going to jeopardize people's impressions of Lesnar or Reigns in the interim by having either of them lose cleanly anywhere, certainly not Roman Reigns, given his push as well. So, you know, I understand wanting Lashley to, when he wins the title, especially over someone the caliber of Lesnar, to do it in a convincing manner. That was never even, I don't think, anything that I considered when I argued that Lashley had a good chance of walking out as champion. I guess I never really thought clean was a possibility.
Yeah, and my only pushback is, you know, Rollins did it, Drew did it. I mean, he's lost quite a bit if you think about it. So, I mean, I don't like the, well, he couldn't lose. Well, he has. Drew just beat him last year or 2 years ago. And then
right.
Seth beat him.
And Drew beat him at WrestleMania, where
right.
Lesnar really they didn't have any follow-up for Lesnar after that, right? Because I think – or it was it 2 years ago that they beat Yeah, I know Drew – didn't Drew beat Lesnar in the empty arena WrestleMania?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So, and, you know, you could do that when you don't have anything for Lesnar lined up after that, right? There were really no plans for Lesnar after that. So when you're planning the guy to be in your WrestleMania main event, it's a little bit of a different story there, I think.
Yeah, and that's the only thing looking back now. Like, I was intrigued, and I'm still intrigued by Brock and Roman. Like, I'm intrigued just knowing that Brock is a baby face, but at the same time, he didn't get a lot of cheers, you know, at the end of that show, partly because it went long, partly because they knew it was coming. Because, you know, like I said, it quote-unquote was a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise. We knew when Lesnar got screwed the way he did, he's going to come back in the Royal Rumble and win. I mean, it just seemed kind of obvious at that point. I don't know why you would not think that's going to happen. And so, I don't know, with Lesnar is going to beat Roman, I'm assuming, at WrestleMania, which, again, is fine, but it's not a full-time guy winning it. And so, eventually, somebody will have to beat Brock. And do you want Brock having a title for a whole nother year till the next year's WrestleMania? I don't know. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about where that's going to end up. And going back to the Rumble itself, you know, Big E just lasting like 2 minutes. I mean, gosh, man. I mean, they have just defined him down again in a bad way. Even Riddle, who's, you know, I know he's a comedy figure in Vince's eyes right now, but just the way he got beat up in a lot of spots in that match just made him, it's hard to see how he can come back from that. in like a singles way. Like he's obviously doing a tag team right now, and they might push him in a singles way. What do you think about the way Riddle and Big E especially were kind of looked in the Rumble?
I thought Riddle looked okay. Like you said, he's a comedy figure in Vince's eyes. So, you know, the fact that he didn't last 30 seconds in the Rumble is a compliment, I think, because he could easily have been in and out very quickly just because of the way he's booked, just because of the way Vince sees him and sees his strengths. Big E, I agree. It's hard for me to think back to someone who, going into the Rumble match, people thought as a serious contender to win, having such a short performance. You know, nothing against Big E, obviously, as a wrestler, but boy, you know, and there's reports that Kofi Kingston's elimination, which was not supposed to be an elimination, he just failed at his usual Kofi save, that he was supposed to be involved in some moments with Big E later on. So perhaps they adjusted on the fly and thought, well, without Kofi out there, Big E doesn't have to last as long. I don't know. But I really struggle to think of someone in a previous Rumble who people thought had a real chance to win, having such an unimpressive and short showing as Big E did tonight. So, you know, is this WWE's patented reverse psychology booking where they know that someone's going to, you know, challenge for a title, so they're not going to bother building them up because they're going to win Elimination Chamber? Or is this WWE really defining down Big E? And I think it's also important to note that Big E is apparently now full-time on SmackDown as of this Friday night and back sort of teaming with Kofi Kingston. So that should tell us a lot right there as well in terms of where WWE sees Big E's future, and it doesn't seem to be in the main event picture.
No, it absolutely does not. And that's, I mean, that is very unfortunate. I mean, he was doing some really good things, and I don't know. I don't know where to go. I mean, I'm curious to see what they do with Drew. At least Drew got the moment with Brock again, even though he got beat pretty easily at the end because he had gotten beat up during the Rumble. So I think that was maybe his out for that, which will help Drew a little bit. I'm curious to see where they go with him. But then going back, I thought the first two championship matches were actually pretty good. I mean, the DQ finish was dumb. I didn't care for that at all. Becky against Piper, I thought was a really good match. I think Vince is going to look at Piper and think she's got a lot going on. I think she's doing really well for herself, even though she wasn't going to win, but I thought she held up her own against Becky. But going to the Women's Royal Rumble, that's the last thing I was going to bring up was, yeah, not a lot of big stars other than the top few stars. Like, I was still disappointed by that Sasha was number one and then didn't last very long. I still really didn't understand that. I mean, yeah, don't have her win, but let her last longer than she did. That was kind of weird. And then with Ronda, like, I was fine with her being there. Like, I mean, Ronda was awesome in WWE when she was there. I mean, now she said a lot of bad things about WWE when she left. And so that's what I'm curious about with who she wrestles, even if it is Charlotte. I don't know if the fans are going to – I mean, the fans might get behind her just because Charlotte's such a good heel. But I think Ronda should have came in as a badass heel. And I don't know if the babyface lane's going to work. It worked for a little while the first time, but then it petered out. They started booing her. And I just don't know if Ronda's going to stay around for a long time. Can she be a babyface? I don't know. And that's what the heel babyface dynamic right now in the women's division is just really messed up. So I wanted to hear what you thought about that, women's Rumble itself and Ronda and where she goes, and then just kind of the – you know, what you think about what Piper did tonight. And Greg, like I said, man, I always appreciate what you do. Thank you for taking my call, and I'll talk to you as soon as I can, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Good to hear from you. Always love to hear your thoughts on the pay-per-view nights. PLE, is it now, nights? Premier Live Event. Sorry. It's going to take some time to erase pay-per-view from my lingo when it comes to WWE. The Ronda thing is interesting because they are positioning her as a babyface opposite Charlotte Flair, and there was enough pushback from fans to her in her initial run that they seemed to have to turn her heel, and she was pretty effective in that role. I think what she has going for her here is Charlotte at this point is a very effective heel, and people like to boo Charlotte and people want to boo Charlotte, which will make Ronda come across as a better babyface, I think, in that role. So she does have that going for her. And we'll see if WWE learned their lesson and Ronda Rousey learned her lesson on how to carry herself as a babyface and for WWE how to book her as a babyface that, you know, they may have learned from her last run. Sasha Banks was interesting because not a lot of people expected her into it until Friday night when she showed up on SmackDown. She entered number one here in the Women's Royal Rumble and was the third one eliminated. So she didn't last a whole long time. It could have been a situation where they just kind of wanted to get her legs underneath her a little bit after missing a month of ring time due to injury, and they didn't want to push her too much. Although, you know, she's going to be, it appears, unless they do a three-way, sort of one of the bigger stars of WWE's women's division that could be left without a chair when the music ends in terms of WrestleMania. If you've got Charlotte and Ronda, if you've got Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks stands out as the star who's the biggest, who doesn't really have anything. Now, if they bring Bayley back and she's healthy enough to participate on the road to WrestleMania, you could always rekindle the Banks-Bayley feud. And so that could be something they're looking at because Banks certainly someone, you know, they've got people who are on the cusp, your Rhea Ripley's, who you could put in that role if you want to, Shayna Baszler maybe. Maybe you bring a part-timer back like one of the Bella twins. Maybe Liv Morgan keeps rising and she ends up against Banks at WrestleMania. So there are a couple people on the cusp of being in that role, but Banks does seem to be that person in the women's division who doesn't really have a dance partner, at least an obvious one right now, for WrestleMania, again, unless Bayley is able to come back and they decide to pair them up again. So back to our emails. We have one from Sarah G, and she said this email was titled Quick Rumble Feedback. She said, I had to turn it off. Show was fine, but the camera work was the absolute dirt worst ever. Several eliminations missed, and the constant cuts and zooming in and out left me sick. Switched off. The camera cuts was – it's always fun to be on Twitter during these big shows, the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, the shows that part-time fans check out, the people who watch maybe once, twice, three times a year, and see their reactions. And one of the things, the theme music was something you heard a lot about on Twitter, you read a lot about, but the other was the camera cuts. And when you're not watching every week, you tend to – forget just how annoying they are. And I noted that, you know, when I was tweeting during the show, again, at Greg M. Parks, give me a follow, was they had missed the Rick Boogs elimination of, I think it was Gable when he was doing the press slam because they were, you know, there was some fighting in the corner and a close elimination there, but it's like... You know, you can't, heaven forbid you put the camera on someone for 3 seconds and wait for the elimination to happen. And the other thing was like the entrances. I know the aisle was long, but you had 4 camera cuts just for an entrance. Like you'd show someone's entrance for a half second and go back to the ring, then back to the entrance, then back to the ring, then back to the entrance and back to the ring. And it was like, just put the camera on them. Do a split screen like they used to do where the entrance was happening in the upper left corner and most of the rest of the battling in the ring was done on the rest of the screen or something like that, like AEW's picture-in-picture that they do when they go to commercial. But, yeah, the camera cuts. I don't know if it was any worse tonight. I guess I'm just sort of immune from noticing it now. I don't know if it was any worse tonight realistically or if it was just more people who are not weekly viewers of WWE TV were tuning in tonight and getting a taste of what we get on a weekly basis. It's a struggle. Let's go back to the phones. 773 area code. You are on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Boris from Chicago.
Boris, I thought that might have been you. How are you tonight?
Yeah.
Good to hear from you. Did you actually watch the Rumble tonight?
I actually put it in the background of my iPhone while I was playing dominoes. And, of course, just seeing the people that you want to win, not win, and it was there. I told you so, Mommy. Just wait and see. So the Biancas and me, you have to say, how do y'all feel now that this is the way WWE do it? Because at least Sammy Guevara won both belts, because I told you. And it's like, I see AEW doing this, because I wanted Daniel Bryan to win. But Paige actually triumphed, which is saying that at least AEW wants their stars to get over on bigger stars. But when it comes to WWE, when you know that the Big E got over on them, and, these stars got over, in a way that you want them to get justified, they didn't get it tonight. And this is where you should have gave it to them, because I heard everybody say it. So I'm right here. I don't watch at all, but I showed up for the Rumble just to see and come and, actually call in and say that I told you so. And that's my first
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Well,
yes, and I think your disappointment is well-founded. I think your disappointment is shared by a lot of fans who tuned into this event, whether they are weekly viewers of TV or someone who just kind of turns in occasionally like yourself. I think, you look at the winners of the Rumble, Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey, part-timers, this was an opportunity for them to make stars, but they're not in the star-making business. I mean, that's been evident for a long time. They're using as much of the part-timers, especially once we get to WrestleMania season. That's what it's all about. It's about bringing back, and you saw Shane McMahon tonight. I'm sure that was not a one-off. I'm sure he'll be doing something at WrestleMania as well. So, it's all about getting the band back together and using as many name stars as you can at the detriment of building your own stars. And so we're seeing that happening here tonight at the Rumble, and that's what we have to look forward to on the road to WrestleMania.
Let me add a part two to that. All these incredible characters that we know and love, show some spark for, these are the same people that got dusted. I'm going to say it like Marvel, got dusted this whole time. So bringing them back, y'all came back to get dusted again. Because I'm just watching these characters that are pretty much bigger than anything they've been built. Not calling this Sasha Banks, but think about it. These iconic people that wasn't treated correctly back then decided to show up again and do what? Get dusted again. So I'm like, wow. Why would y'all come back to this? Let this company suffer without having incredible characters. Some people did. Some people turned it down. I thought it turned it down. They said, no, we're not doing this. And I was like, yes, because they just left. Why would you come back to this? And the people we see that stay and deal with this, you deserve it. All of y'all deserve to get dusted. So because you know this company. Why would y'all come back? Even if you look at Mickey James, you got it. You are doing so well for women, and you came back and just disappointed us. We have these women that decide to step up for women, and then all of a sudden I'll come back to this company. The two people, the main two people that disappointed the women, the two women that disappointed the women, came back to this company, and failed. You got dusted. And so my thing is, you see what I'm saying, Greg? Why would you come back? It doesn't even, I understand the nostalgia of it, but let these companies suffer to build stars. Don't come back. Let them figure out how to do something without you guys. That's my thing.
Are you talking, and when you're saying coming back, are you talking about, like, the women who made cameos in the Rumble, or are you talking about
Mickey James, number one, and I forgot her name, but she was the one that wanted to do the union, remember? And then she decided to come back come back or whatever.
Oh, Zelina Vega.
Zelina Vega. The two main people that people really wanted to get behind because they stood up for women. And then they decided she came back and to the worthless crowd, and Mickie James came back for whatever reason, because I watched her go through all this and this empowerment, and then come back to the company that doesn't do empowerment. Am I wrong, Greg?
Well,
am I wrong?
I think they're two very distinctly different reasons they came back. So they're certainly not they're not the same in terms of, you know, Zelina Vega is full time on the WWE roster, and you know we can say whatever we want about her coming back after wanting to, you know, doing the union talk and stuff like that. But the bottom line is having a job is better than not having a job, and sometimes. Sometimes you just got to eat crow.
Can I cut you off? Can I cut you off? I'm going to cut you off because I always use an analogy of myself. Jobs that I choose not to participate. There's a certain reason where I think I'm not going to announce jobs that I would not do, but these are real-world jobs, right? There's jobs that I decided that I'll fill out for. And there's jobs that I won't fill out for due to the fact that, for personal reasons, because there's a distinctness that who I am determines how far I will get in that company, and that is for, you know, in that job. So I decided a long time ago when I was young, I'm not doing that job. And WWE was one of those jobs. Even, you know what I'm saying? Even though it's a job.
Boris, that's great.
Go ahead.
That's great if that works for you, but everybody's situation is different. I don't know what calculations went into Zelina Vega deciding to go back to WWE after she was let go, after she made the union stink. I don't know what concessions she may have gotten from WWE, because that's part of it too. You know, she may have gotten some things she wanted out of the deal. And even though she's not pushed as a very serious character on TV, that may not be her goal. I don't know. So it's hard for me to begrudge someone who's decided that they want to make a full-time living. So that's one thing. The Mickie James thing, I think, is, you know, and that, I was surprised, too, that she went back given how she was treated on her way out and how she had made that very public and how that affected her. But I think she sees this more through the lens of, I'm helping Impact Wrestling. I'm doing something that no one else has done before, in that I'm a champion for another major company appearing on a WWE pay-per-view, and they're advertising that company. They're using my music. They're using, you know, music that was created and being used in Impact Wrestling. They're allowing me to bring the championship onto television. So, you know, I don't want to get in her head, but I think she kind of thinks, hey, this is bigger than a trash bag full of stuff. This is truly revolutionary that WWE is working with another company, that I'm able to appear on WWE pay-per-view as the champion of Impact Wrestling, opening doors for people to maybe check out Impact Wrestling and make that company a little bigger. So that may have been the calculation for Mickie James, very different than the calculations that went into Zelina Vega's return.
Absolutely. Now, one more thing, because this is my positive to this whole thing. I just wish it was executed better. Seeing marrying characters of my side and the current characters, you know, the super characters, the hero characters, and stuff like that, seeing them interact. But, you know, you wish it was in a better position so it was like a passing of the torch instead of a heated booing moment. You know, they didn't get a chance to face off in a proper manner that I wish they could. You know what I'm saying? Molly Holly and whatever the character is trying to create out of whoever she was. I wish, because we had mirroring characters. We had Leah come out, and we had I can't think of a name from NXT. I was just hoping that they they don't value what they had. They have mirroring characters organically. And I was just like, I've seen all these mirroring characters that could have possibly just faced off and really gave us a moment. But it was like, it was so short because that's not what they wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? But what do you think about that? We had mirroring characters, but not quite pushed where you figured they could have did something, you know, like Marvel's been doing with their characters and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Where they give us these moments with Spider-Man, where people, you know, Marvel made money off Spider-Man during the pandemic. That maybe could have made a lot more, did a lot more with this Royal Rumble and the mirroring of characters like Marvel did with Spider-Man. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to that because I'm not as well versed on that topic as you are, Boris. But there were a couple, the Nikki A.S.H. and Molly Holly you mentioned.
Yeah.
There was Lita, and I think Rhea Ripley maybe is who you were thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Both that punk character in WWE. So, you know, generationally there were you could see the similarities between characters who are on TV today and some of the characters who had paved the way for them in generations past. And I think one of the complaints about the Rumbles tonight, both Rumbles, is there just were not a lot of moments. There were not a lot of memorable moments, whether it's facing off for the crowd or whatever the case may be. I mean, even, you know, Ray, I know you don't watch every week, Boris, but Ray and Dominic Mysterio have been kind of teasing over the last few weeks that they might eliminate each other.
I've been listening.
And they didn't even. Okay, but they didn't even.
Man.
They weren't even in the ring at the same time. So it's just kind of bizarre that they would work that way. So, so there's a couple strange things like that. You know, less people scratching their heads tonight, I think.
You know, and that's the thing about AEW, at least I'm not all in on it, as you say, all in. But I can appreciate, I see what Tony Khan is doing. And it's annoying at times because he's just so into trying to make those moments. But he does so well with Sting. You know what I'm saying? And it's just so disappointing when we get back to the big boss, WWE, and all these people, all these characters just fall into their hands. And it's like, you just see the moments there, and it's like, you see them just get thrown over the ropes and or through whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that whole moment of, damn. You know what I mean? But, Greg, it's always awesome to hear you. If I don't call in as much as I do anymore, you already know why. But I love you, and I miss the old way that we used to have it, you know, banging and clanging. You know, all the problems, I just have to go. You know what I'm saying? But I know.
Think
about us in those moments of back in the day. And I'll call in to make sure that let you know I'm still listening. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I enjoy you and everybody else, and y'all have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Boris. Always good to hear from you and your unique take on things. So thanks for calling in. Again, 515-605-9345 is the number to call. I've got a couple more on hold here. Also want to get to another email here before we get to more phone calls. This is from JB. He says, Greg, hope all is well and always fun to listen to you after a pay-per-view. One of the biggest things that stuck out to me is that WWE has done such an incredible job of blowing it with misusing or firing their up-and-coming women over the past 2 years that it felt like 60% of the entrants retired years ago. Just thinking over the names, they blew it with or fired Toni Storm, Ember Moon, Tegan Knox, Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, Chelsea Green, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Ruby Soho, Deonna Purrazzo, Serena Deeb, Kairi Sane, Brandi Lauren, Tay Conti, Kairi Sane, Serena Deeb, and Leva Bates. He put Kairi Sane in there twice. But also MIA were Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Io Shirai, Carmella, and Xia Li. Carmella was in there, who they spent tons of energy building up. They could have fallen back on two or three legends rather than having to blow the dust off of Kelly or Ivory in 2022. Really eye-opening how thin their current female roster seemed. Thanks. Yeah, the points are taken. And when you put it in list form like that, it does make you go, wow, in terms of the number of the talent they've just missed on or they've let go and given up on. it certainly would have made tonight's Rumble a lot better. I was surprised Alexa Bliss wasn't in the Rumble. I know they're doing the vignettes with her on Raw, kind of slowly building up for her return, but the way they've been received, which is poorly, in case you're not paying attention, I'm kind of surprised they didn't just kind of abandon it and have her come back here, at least just to add a little more current-day star power since there was so little here in this match. But, yeah, that list is pretty striking for what it says about WWE and their ability to really not necessarily choose the right women, but push the ones that they have in a way that, you know, a couple of them, you know, Toni Storm obviously opting to leave on her own. But that's a problem in and of itself when you have women that talented who leave because they just don't see themselves being utilized well. And so it's all kinds of creative issues that have led to this, and very, very frustrating to watch a pay-per-view. And it's cool to have the legends come back. Look, I'm not saying it's not, but four or five tops is all you should need. But the fact that you have to call upon almost half of the Rumble to be former stars is very telling. And I don't think that's what WWE ever intended the Women's Rumble to be. I mean, the first one was, just because it was so historic that I think they did want to include a lot of the women who had really paved the way for this to happen. But in its fifth, sixth year, whatever it is, you would think that they would have a deeper women's roster by now, and they just don't have it. So very frustrating. Let's go back to the phones. 574 is up next. 574, welcome to Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name's Billy, and I'm from Alabama.
Billy from Alabama, good to hear from you here tonight. What did you think of the Royal Rumble?
Well, the tranny's there. What I was wondering about is the women that look like men. Don't they look a little bit like men to you?
All right, we're going to let Billy go. The 623 area code is up next. 623, welcome to Wrestling Night in America. What did you think of the Royal Rumble tonight? And please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Greg, this is Brian calling from Phoenix, 30-year senior PW Torch VIP subscriber. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good to hear from you again, Brian. Always good to hear from you here on these pay-per-view nights. What did you think of the Rumble? Because I'm interested in your thoughts. There's been a lot of negativity on social media. I know you're a pretty level-headed guy, 30-year Torch subscriber, senior Torch subscriber, so you're certainly aware of the goings-on and what goes into these kind of events, and you've seen your share, so really interested in your thoughts here.
Well, really quick, Greg, first of all, I should say good morning to you, because in Phoenix, it's almost 11 o'clock, so I know it's like 1 o'clock your time. So
it's getting there.
I won't take too much of your time, and I want other people to have their voices as well. And, you know, am I a WWE stan? You know, okay, let's say I am, but I don't watch AEW and I don't watch a whole lot of other independents. And I, you know, if I know what's going on with independents or New Japan, it's by the Torch. Now, do I co-sign on everything WWE does? No. You know, there's still a lot of firings that I'm was really curious about. You mentioned when we were you talked about a little bit about Toni Storm, and well, she didn't get fired, but she resigned. You know, and to take this down what you were just talking about, and I'll say this part really briefly, is that, you know, until Vince McMahon writes a book that says this is the reason why I got rid of blank, or this is the reason why I let Toni Storm go blank, or this is the reason why I wanted to keep Mustafa Ali is blank, then we're probably never going to really know. So, you know, for us to speculate about, you know, okay, why did they get rid of Serena Deeb because she's this great – we don't know what goes on behind that. So I like that the list that the you said one of the emailers sent you, but all the women they got rid of within the last, you know, I guess year and a half or maybe 2 years, probably going on because of the pandemic. But again, we don't know what's going on with them and why they decided to make those moves. A couple things really quick about the overall pay-per-view. Overall, I enjoyed it. I didn't like what happened with Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns, because, you know, Roman comes in, does a spear, hits Brock with the belt, and then, you know, he leaves. I mean, he's walking out the ring, and then another referee comes sliding in to do the count. You know, that to me, again, I don't like the term, you know, it took me out of the moment, because, you know, wrestling can take you out the moment. I love, Greg, an Irish whip. And I love, like, you know, duck under a leapfrog and then some move. I am a total mark for that. And I'm yelling, and I luckily I live in a house, so I'm yelling, you know, when somebody does a leapfrog, I'm yelling leapfrog. But should that take me out of something? I mean, you know, yes, it should. But we take that as a part of wrestling. But, you know, but something else, you know, takes the other people out of wrestling. So to get off of this diatribe that I'm on right now, I don't want to be a Boris who doesn't watch it and calls and complains about and misses stuff that and sound like he's underwater as he's talking. What I'll say is that Ronda Rousey, I'm surprised about her coming. You know, I saw the internet rumors about her coming back. So, you know, I'm surprised until when somebody actually shows up, then that's when I'm, okay, yeah, I get it. Her winning, you know, if I look back and I step back, I could see the reason why. And I put on Twitter, brianford.com, I'll spell it out on Twitter, is that, you know, when they ask her who does she want to face, Becky or Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair, she should say both of them, you know, a rewind the WrestleMania match. Mm-hmm. With Brock winning, maybe I missed it when it said he was going to enter the Royal Rumble, so maybe I missed that part. So when he came out as number 30, I was a little surprised by it. But then, you know,
it was definitely a surprise.
Okay, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it, because I never, you know, I'm not a predictor of stuff, because it's, you know, it's hard for me to almost predict anything, because it's, there's always a little doubt of something that could happen. You know, when you see Brock and Drew McIntyre at the end, could Drew run it back and, you know, eliminate Brock again? Yeah, of course he could. But, you know, does the storyline wise make sense for Brock to eliminate Drew and then him pointing at the WrestleMania sign to go at Roman? My prediction is that hopefully, fingers crossed, Big E wins Elimination Chamber, and then he faces Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. So those are two WrestleMania main events for on the men's side. So, Greg, so to say all that, overall, I thought, again, I enjoyed the card. You know, there's some things I would have, you know, I guess would have done different. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Big E at this point seems to me to be, again, with the quick elimination that I don't think was even shown on camera, with the move to SmackDown, with the sort of reteaming with Kofi Kingston, I have less confidence that Big E is going to win the chamber and face Lashley today than I did a week ago today, just based on what's happened over the last few days. So, you know, I don't know who else it would be. You know, is it Seth Rollins? Drew McIntyre seemed like a good choice, but he's on SmackDown, so you'd have to – maybe you trade Big E for Drew McIntyre, and Drew goes back to Raw as Big E goes to SmackDown. I don't know. But I guess that's the potential there. I just think the my big complaint with this and people grade the Rumble pay-per-view differently. There are some people that put a lot of stock into the Rumble matches, and if the Rumble matches are not good, even if the rest of the card is good, they'll knock their overall show down a few pegs. Some people kind of look at the Rumble matches as evenly as they look at the other matches on the card, and so they don't weigh them as heavily. So everybody grades the Rumble a little differently. I do weigh the Rumble matches a little more heavily, I think, because that's what the show tends to be built around, even when you have other big title matches. And I just was not impressed. I wasn't impressed with the work. I wasn't impressed with who was spotlighted. I wasn't impressed with the booking choices that were made by WWE throughout the Rumbles, the depth of the – I think from a big picture point of view, the depth on both the women's and the men's roster were exposed greatly by just who was in the matches and the lack of reaction that so many wrestlers got, both on the men's and women's side. And so I think that's kind of my big takeaway from this, is that, you know, not only was the quality below what I've come to expect from Royal Rumble matches, and to be fair, they tend to swing wildly from one year to the next, the quality does, but also just the depth. I think it was striking in the lack of depth and the lack of, you know, the men's were just like the Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode and Ricochet and, you know, all these guys who just have been so defined down over the last year or more, and, you know, we're expecting to take them seriously as WrestleMania main eventers, and it's just very difficult to do so. So that was one of my big takeaways from the Rumble, and probably why I downgraded it maybe more so than you did, Brian.
Greg, you said a lot of stuff there, and I'm going to keep it pretty short because, again, let other callers come on and let you go to bed at a decent time. Defining down, I gritted my teeth as soon as you said it because that, in my opinion, again, I don't want to go down a deep rabbit hole here, but it's one of the most ridiculous terms I keep hearing that coming from certain podcasters. I'll say it that way. I don't, again, Greg, you can speak on it. I don't want to go too deep down to it and let other people talk about it. Maybe we can talk about it in some other time. I'll call in on another Sunday about that. So to keep going on, though, I didn't like how, you know, Boris mentioned about, you know, just and the email you mentioned as well, talked about the women. I didn't like that a lot of the legends and Hall of Famers got eliminated so quickly. I didn't really necessarily like that on the women's side. And the only other thing I'll mention is about the Roman versus Seth match. The part that I like on the build, I liked about the build-up, and the part that happened on SmackDown last night, and I watched a lot of it this morning, is that where you could see Roman have some pretty good facial reactions as far as some of the things that was getting to him as far as what Seth was saying, as far as, like, this guy, you know, was my brother, and he turned his back, or I turned my, I trusted him to turn my back to him, and he hit me with a chair, and how conflicted he was, you know, conflicted, or how mad he was about that whole circumstance. I like how that part was played out. I don't like, you know, chairs entering matches, but that's just the way, you know, wrestling is. So other than that, Greg, unless you have something for me, I'm good to go for this evening. But again, always appreciate your knowledge.
I do want you, since you were very vehement in your belief that defining down, you're the last caller I have on hold. So I would like to kind of get into this a little bit. Defining down, you take a very strong tone against that, and I'm curious as to if you'd like to explain why.
So defining down, so that means they were up and then they were down. So Ricochet, you mentioned him. He's been at a particular level. Could he go higher than the level? In my opinion, yeah, he could, but he hasn't been defined down from where he's at. Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss have been at a particular level. Maybe they haven't broken past that glass ceiling. I think Baron Corbin, has been kind of like, you know, if you say there's a line, he's been flirting around that line, going up and down it for the last couple years. But I'm not sure he's been defined down at all from maybe from a couple years ago he's been defined down, but as far as his heel character is concerned, he's been pretty consistent the entire time.
I think you're taking the down part of it a little too literally. I think what people mean when they say defined down is they're defined by WWE booking at a certain level, and that level is mid-card or below. And so when you put them in an event like the Royal Rumble, where you expect people to take them seriously as someone who could win and main event WrestleMania, it's just, it's hard for people to stomach because these are people who are defined at a certain level in WWE, and it's just not realistic that they would have any chance of winning.
So I could take that definition, but as you know, and I tweeted this, you know, I remember, you know, watching that first Royal Rumble on the USA. I remember when they announced it on Primetime Wrestling, when Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan were talking about it, and they were saying, well, hey, you know, they had this concept called the Royal Rumble was going to be on USA. I remember watching it, you know, live, and that's just how old I am. And, you know, back then, you know, like, as you know, Greg, of course, you're a historian, that the first couple of ones were just like bragging rights who won it. And then we get to the Ric Flair version where, okay, who won it, won the WWF championship at that time. And then it started going to the next one was, okay, you'll challenge at WrestleMania. So to take all that, and the reason why I bring it up is that we know that if there's 30 people in it, there's 20 of them that truly have no choice that are going to win that match. So why are those – so, again, if you say defining down, if you take that those two words as what they're mean to be, was Dominic, which I'm gonna pick on – not pick on him necessarily, but I'm going to ascribe it to Rich Fan, a member of the Torch family, is about how, you know, last year in the Royal Rumble, is that Dominic Mysterio was like the youngest person at 23, I guess, at that time. And then, like, the next age would have been, like, 31, so a nice age gap between the youngest person and then, you know, the next youngest person. This time, Austin Theory is the same age as Dominic. And then almost is 27, so the age range went down a little bit. But the reason why I bring all that part up is that you know that Dominic Mysterio was not going to win. You know there's certain people in there that's not going to win, so there's about maybe 10 people that could win. So everybody else would be in that level. So are they being defined down by being in the Royal Rumble, Greg?
No, they're not being defined down by being in the Royal Rumble. Their position has been defined down so that when they do appear in the Royal Rumble, there's no realistic way of – I mean, people groan when Bobby Roode comes out. People groan when Rick Boogs comes out because they're kind of fun characters. Well, Boogs is anyway. But, you know, they don't have a real chance at winning. And I think there was just you mentioned there were 10 people who had a chance of winning. I would say there's maybe two or three. And that's been the problem with WWE's booking is they just haven't done enough to lift people up into a position where you could think, wow – yeah, you know, I'm not really sure who's going to win. I think there's 6, 7, 8 guys, 9, 10 guys who have a chance at winning. With this Rumble, when you look at the participants who were announced ahead of time, it was not exactly a murderer's row of top-tier WWE talent. And so they weren't defined down by being in the Royal Rumble, but they were defined down before they were in the Rumble, so that when they are in the Rumble, it's just a bunch of mid-card guys who are kicking and punching without any real sense that they can actually win the match. And I get that, you know, in Rumbles past, you know, that's been the same case in some years, but I back in the 1990s or 1980s when the Rumble first started, hey, I was a novice fan. I had no real belief that Repo Man couldn't possibly win the Rumble, but you know, now we're all a little bit older, we're all a little bit wiser when it comes to WWE booking, so we can smell that stuff a little better than we did back when we were younger.
I agree. And you know, if it was like what you said, then the Royal Rumble would be like 10 people, maybe 6 people at that point. You know, my mind is gone. You know, my mind is like kind of like locked on as far as doing doctoral studying right now. But, you know, I kind of forgot, but then I remembered that, you know, Edge went from coast to coast. And, you know, when I first turned it on, when I first watched that Royal Rumble, would I have thought, you know, Edge would have won it? You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, because he's a name person and, you know, would there be a good reason for him to win? Yeah, it would be a good reason for him to win. So I think that we as fans, and maybe more insider fans to take it that point, is that we kind of forget about that the Royal Rumble is filler, and there's, you know, let's say 6 people named Greg that have a legitimate choice to win. You know, Sheamus. Did I think Sheamus was going to win? No. But Sheamus has actually been on a pretty good winning streak over the last, you know, 6 months at least. He's been on a pretty good winning streak. So, in theory, he should have had a good chance to win, but I didn't think he was going to win.
Well, and I think the other thing you look for too, Brian, at least that I look for in these matches is, okay, let's say that 23 guys don't really have a chance to win. But and WWE has done this in years past. Did they come out of the Royal Rumble looking better? Did they come out of the Royal Rumble looking stronger? I think you could make a case for the Women's Rumble that maybe Liv Morgan did. She lasted 30-plus minutes. She's been putting together some good matches with Becky Lynch, high-profile situations. She's been doing some good mic work. I think this helps continue to boost your stock. But when you look at the men, I didn't really think anyone got really the opportunity to shine. I didn't think anything was really set up that's really interesting coming out of the Royal Rumble. So even for the guys who don't really have a chance of victory, those are the guys you look at and say, okay, are they better coming out of the Rumble than they were going in? Did they get something set up for WrestleMania season in the Rumble match that they can use as a springboard over the next few months to do something at WrestleMania? And I don't know if we can say that coming out of this Men's Rumble.
I agree with you, but I'd have to see what happens on TV the next couple of weeks. But look, talking to you tonight, there's nothing I can think of that comes off the top of my head. I would agree with you on that point.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've reached somewhat of a consensus here, Brian, on our discussion. So yeah, I appreciate you sticking with me and discussing it. I always love to pick your brain on this kind of stuff. So best of luck with the doctoral work, of course, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon here on Wrestling Night in America.
Hey, Greg, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I hope you have a real good night. And thanks for all you do, too, for the Torch. I've said this before, but I always say it again. Thanks for what you do for the Torch and what you do in your civilian life as well. And like you said, or I said, I'm a 30-year Torch VIP subscriber, and it's I've been, you know, it'll be 31 years in February, so wow, next month, actually in a couple of weeks, to be honest, Greg, February the 7th, yeah. Will be my 31-year point. So I've been staying around for a reason, and because the Torch does such a great work, and remember, there weren't podcasts when I started subscribing, it was just a newsletter. So there's a reason why I've been sticking around for this long, and because of all the great work that yourself do, Greg, and what the rest of the staff does as well. And other than that, you know, really quick, Greg, so NXT 8 years back, that's the Saturday program that Kelly Wells and Tom Staupe does. I'm a huge fan of Intercontinental Adventures with Nick and Tom. Of course, Rich Fan, I mentioned him earlier, and then I'm a huge fan of Travis Bryant and Cam Hawkins on the East Coast cast, both the regular version and the VIP portion. So I just plugged a lot of Torch stuff on my my conversation here. And Zach Haydorn, too, so, you know. Maybe even editor, publisher, Wade Keller. I'm kind of somewhat cool with him, too. And so other than that, that's it.
Just a little bit, right?
Just a little bit.
All right, thank you, Brian. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Have a really good night, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Yep,
have a really
too,
good
Brian.
Night, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. If you're not a member of the Torch, you can get all the exclusive features online and podcasts without ads, and you can get the hard copy Torch newsletter every week to your mailbox, which I still get. I don't read the PDF copy that comes out, you know, several days earlier online. I always wait to get that hard copy and read that. So really always enjoy getting that every week, and love to see what I said that week in my column, always on page 10 of the Torch newsletter. So I'll have another one coming out soon that takes a look at where we're headed into WrestleMania after tonight's Royal Rumble. So I got one more email question to get to. This is from Billy in Rochester, New York, my old stomping grounds. It's probably very cold up there, but it's very cold down here in Southwest Florida as well. Unseasonably cool. I think it's going to be the coldest it's been in 4 years. Right now it's 39 degrees with a wind chill warning. So all of you on the East Coast probably laughing at me for saying how cold it is. You're probably in the negative temperatures right now. But anyway, I digress. Billy's email. What do you think is next for Seth? How about Becky? I'm surprised Alexa Bliss didn't come back for the Women's Rumble. Holy cow. Did that last guy call on Paul E. Dangerously's brick phone from the 90s? Worst sounding call ever. I believe that was about Boris. I was straining, but I could still hear him, so I continued on with it. But to go through Billy's question here, what's next for Seth? You know, I think he'll be in the chamber at the very least in Saudi Arabia. I think he'll have to be in the conversation for winning it. I don't know if Lashley is a babyface now. It looked like he was slapping hands with fans on the way back. So if he is babyface, that certainly makes heel Seth Rollins a possibility for Big E. But otherwise, you know, I don't think there's anything really clear that stands out for Rollins on the Raw brand right now. So that's one of the more intriguing guys. AJ Styles is out there. If they don't do something more with AJ Styles and Amos, then, you know, they're two of the bigger names on Raw without really a dance partner right now for WrestleMania anyway. So they could get together at some point. Becky Lynch seems pretty clear that Bianca Belair will be her opponent for WrestleMania. I'm also surprised, I mentioned this earlier, that Alexa didn't come back for the Rumble, but they're playing it slow with Bliss's return, doing the vignettes on Raw. So they must like the way those are going, despite the reaction from fans who I don't think are big fans of it. But WWE has always been more of a fan of Alexa's stuff as the Fiendess than fans have, I think. So that's my take on it anyway. I don't know if this email was to be shared, but I'm going to share it anyway. This is from Philip, Tier 1 VIP member, regular listener of Wrestling Night in America, Philip from North Carolina. And this is a follow-up to the discussion from a few weeks ago, January 16th, with I had Javier Machado on talking about there's a question DJ from Miami had about the MLW lawsuit against WWE. And Philip says, sorry, I'm quite behind watching pro wrestling and listening to PW Torch podcast. I considered then WWF's $4.2 million allowed purchase, including the library of WCW, to be more of a monopolistic practice than what is happening between MLW and WWE, at least under the Sherman Antitrust Act. Besides TNA, upstart / indie promotions were mostly excluded from substantial television partnerships, at least in part due to WWF / WWE and their presence in professional wrestling / sports entertainment until AEW was founded in 2019. With today's internet, along with what Mr. Machado shared, we can now view indie promotions from around the world. However, WWF / WWE was professional wrestling for more than a decade. I majored in accounting and have limited knowledge of the Sherman Antitrust Act. My best friend was a business and finance major. In 2001, I remember asking why WWF's purchase of WCW was allowed by authorities and how it did not violate anti-monopoly laws. He responded that then WWF and their claim to be sports entertainment fell outside of the spirit of why anti-monopoly laws were established. WWF / WWE have toggled back and forth with claims of being sports entertainment to being professional wrestling when to their advantage. Mr. Machado also said that all this is a question best answered by an attorney. Thanks for all you do, Philip, North Carolina. So just as a follow-up, if you're a regular listener to Wrestling Night in America, we did have a question about the MLW-WWE lawsuit from a couple weeks ago. So that may shed some more light on the situation or may muddy the waters a little more, depending on how you view it. So thank you, everyone, for participating, whether you sent an email, whether you called in. Great hearing from new emailers, great hearing from, you know, infrequent callers and frequent callers. You know, we love to have a great mix, and we'd love to hear from you again in the future. 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back right here on Wrestling Night in America next weekend. I believe Zach Haydorn is going to host in my stead. I'll be in Colorado for the weekend, so I won't be hosting, but Zach will be here hosting, I believe, Zach, for me next week. We talk about the big shows in pro wrestling, the big events in pro wrestling, and there's never a shortage of them throughout the year, especially as we hit WrestleMania season. So I hope you'll join us again, either listening live at pwtorchdailycast.com or perhaps on demand later when it suits you. So just a reminder, I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks. You can find my work every week in page 10 of the Torch newsletter. You can hear me every once in a while co-hosting with Wade Keller on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, and certainly each and every week here Sunday on Wrestling Night in America, also on Twitter at Greg M. Park. So make sure to tune in again next week, because if it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America.